this is your Polycast for Monday, February 27th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Keith Ellison loses his bid for the head of the DNC and assessing immigration policy from Worthington. The Minnesota Senate will vote today on whether to end the state's longtime ban on Sunday liquor sales. Tim Pugmire reports.
The scheduled Senate action comes 1 week after the House voted by a convincing margin to allow Sunday liquor sales. Supporters confidently predicted the House passage, but the Senate outcome is less certain. Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka opposes the bill, but he said he wants to let the whole Senate body make that decision. He declined to predict the outcome. The Senate bill allows liquor stores to open on Sundays between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., the House bill allows a 10 a.m. opening time. Both bills prohibit Sunday deliveries. DFL Governor Mark Dayton has said he will sign the bill into law if it reaches him. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
DFL Congressman Keith Ellison has left the Democratic National Committee meeting in Atlanta with a new title, but it isn't the one he was after. The Minnesota congressman is now the deputy chair of the DNC. That role puts him a rung below the chair position he spent months chasing. Brian Baxt has more about Ellison's standing despite his loss over the weekend.
Ellison isn't accustomed to losing. He's won big in the last 8 elections he's been involved in, the last 6 of which provided him a seat in Congress for a Minneapolis area district. But Ellison lost the DNC chairman's race Saturday to former Obama administration Labor Secretary Tom Perez, who on the second ballot secured 235 votes to Ellison's 200. So he's staying put.
I absolutely will remain in the House.
He also accepted an onstage ask from Perez to be deputy chair of the party. About an hour later, they stood side by side talking to reporters. Perez was wearing a campaign button with Ellison's name, and Ellison won from Perez. They said the coalition had been in the works well before the chairman's race was decided.
We've spoken about this for some time. I don't know, neither of us document the days, but we've spoken about it for some time because we think it's really important. And I'm very honored that we're here together because we are, I think, the embodiment of good synergy.
Ellison says as deputy, he expects to be a go-between for the National Party and Democrats in Congress as they work to counter Republican President Donald Trump's agenda. Both men say they hope their show of unity will ripple through a party still trying to patch a rift from last year's presidential primary between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders.
There's no one, not just the two of us, but there was no one in this race who wanted to win at any cost. This race is not about Keith Ellison. It's not about Tom Perez.
Minnesota DFL Party Chairman Ken Martin says for the sake of the party, Ellison's new role better be more than symbolic.
For me personally, I hope it's more than just a ceremonial post. I hope that Keith is really part of the inner sanctum of making the decisions at the DNC and really helping to drive their agenda as we move forward. You know, only time will tell whether or not that's going to happen, but I certainly think for Tom Perez and the DNC right now, it's really incumbent upon them to try to find a way to bring all those supporters of Congressman Ellison into the party, and I certainly take him at his word that he's going to do that.
Until his term ended Saturday, former Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Rybak was one of several vice chairmen of the party. He was in Ellison's corner in the race, and Rybak says even in losing, Ellison's stature has risen tremendously.
Keith Ellison always had a lot of support around the country, but now he's, I believe, probably the leading voice of progressives who want to engage in the system and make it better.
Rybak says he shared words of encouragement with the congressman as the race came to an end.
You know, I hugged Keith backstage and said, you know, I've been proud of you in the past, but I've never been more proud of you than the way you've handled this. And it'll be hard for a few days, and I think there'll be times a couple months from now where I'll question, could I have done this or that? But the reality is he did every single thing he could, and he came within an eyelash.
Ellison seemed prepared for whichever outcome before any ballots were cast. In an interview with NPR News the day before the DNC election, Ellison spoke about what-ifs and said he would remain in the fight no matter what happens.
I love being in Congress. I mean, the highest honor I've ever received anywhere at any time other than being a parent and a husband is to represent the people of the 5th Congressional District. And I would return to that seat with tremendous honor and with renewed vigor.
Closer to home, Ellison's return to Congress heads off a scramble for his seat. that had already drawn several DFL candidates in waiting. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt for Minnesota Public Radio News in Atlanta.
The Trump administration's stances on immigration are causing plenty of concern in the southwest Minnesota city of Worthington. The community is more diverse than any other large Minnesota city, thanks in part to immigration. But there are concerns the Trump administration's tough immigration policies will hurt the town. Worthington has seen substantial economic benefits from non-white residents who are now in the majority. Mark Stile has the story.
Worthington's transformation from a nearly all-white community to a rainbow of faces started some 30 years ago when the town's meatpacking plant expanded. Antonio Calinderas came here to Worthington from California about 25 years ago for a job at the plant. At the time, the city was about 93% white. Standing on a sidewalk in downtown Worthington, he says there were complaints the newcomers were stealing jobs or here to milk the welfare system. He says there's a lot less friction now than in the past.
You can see this city is a peaceful city. People is happy at this city.
Calinderas gives the police department a lot of the credit. He says law enforcement does not randomly stop people to check immigration status. He says they're also willing to meet with and answer questions from communities of color. Those communities are a huge constituency in Worthington. They account for 6 of every 10 residents. Hispanics and Latinos represent 4 in 10 residents. Foreign-born, 3 in 10. Standing on 10th Street downtown, Worthington Mayor Bob Cooley says the people of color who flooded into the city are hard-working people who share the values of other residents.
They just want prosperity. They want nice places to live. We're doing good at it. We're doing well.
The numbers bear that out. Worthington's jobless rate is consistently below the statewide average and was substantially lower during the Great Recession. You can also see economic vitality downtown. Mayor Cooley points out the dozen or so minority-owned businesses nearby, boosting a downtown area that was struggling 20 years ago.
There were quite a few empty storefronts. The immigrant population has stepped in and they've done a good job.
But despite that upbeat history, immigrants in Worthington say the tension level has risen recently. They say that's because of President Trump's vows to toughen U.S. policy on immigration. Earlier this month, about 100 students demonstrated near the Worthington High School to spotlight the contributions immigrants make in the U.S. Event organizer Mariel Castaneda said the president's more aggressive stance on deportation has made some people in town fearful. She says she's heard more racist comments directed at non-white students since the election. And the demonstration itself incited hostility.
Today, a lot of people come by and they flip the finger. They say things, but we're here, we're respectful, we're not doing anything bad, we're just protesting peacefully.
Back on 10th Street in downtown Worthington, clothing and nutrition store owner Edgar David Morente Mendez says he's felt immigrants' rising level of fear. He says his business is down by half since Trump was elected. He says with all the talk and fear of immigration roundups, some people are afraid to go out in public.
We are not criminal. We work hard.
However the Trump administration affects Worthington's future and prosperity, he was the city's choice in the election. Trump carried about 54% of the vote in Worthington. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.